Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ed Alexander. Ed producing and engineering our show today. As we like to say, Ed on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Day, Monday, January the 19th, 2015. Hope you had a great weekend and your new week is off to a very good start. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We make the program available. Usually it's posted within about an hour of the conclusion of the show to our website, buckmastershow.com. We have our complete archive of all of our programs since we began this venture the first week in January in 2011. During the noon hour today, the Monday political face-off, then a tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on this day that the nation honors the civil rights leader, and then we'll close out the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. We're going to break down Arizona's new mandatory high school civics test. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. If you have a question or comment during the face-off, please give us a call at 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Just hit 3,900 friends of the show this morning, so happy about that, but there's plenty of room for more, so if you'd like to join us, that would be great. Vince Robigo is with us. Vince is a former Democratic candidate for the attorney general position here in Arizona. Vince is a longtime Democrat Party activist. He is also an attorney here in town. Bob Westerman again joining us. Bob's former chair of the Republican Party in Pima County. He also ran for Arizona legislature a couple of years back. And in 1992, when he was living in Southern California, he actually ran for Congress. So Bob's been very politically activated. We're just going to hit a button and activate you. Active for many years. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. And they have that first ever inventory sale still going on, up to 75% off. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bob, we're going to activate you right now so you can
your
microphone, so you're actually on.
Well, thanks, and thanks for having me on again, Bill.
Well, it's good to see you. And Vince, nice to see you.
Same to you. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, very good weekend. Very good weekend. How about yourself?
Very nice, thanks. Kind of relaxing.
Yeah, I kind of like the weather. It's been
really
nice.
Perfect. Yeah. My goodness. I like it when it's in the 70s and the nighttime in the 40s, so I don't have to worry about covering all the plants. So that's good news. The governor, shortly after we went off the air on the Buckmaster Show at about 1 o'clock on Friday, within an hour or so, the governor released his long-awaited budget. Let me read, gentlemen, what the Arizona Daily Star had to say in the editorial page over the weekend. The budget released by Governor Doug Ducey, while flanked by State House and Senate leaders, is at best a smoke and mirrors move that acts as if shifting around existing money, much of which is voter mandated, is a $134 million increase to schools. It is not, says the Star. Vince Robigo, your reaction.
I think that's accurate. It's not really increasing any funds. He's making cuts and shifting around obligations to try to present a balanced budget. But there's no increase in the global sense. I mean, just like we were talking with John Munger, last time, his view is anytime something gets really raised, that's an increase. Here, there's nothing really being raised. There's no new revenue stream, nothing that's being given to schools. And in fact, he's, I think, taken a $75 million cut against the universities, which over the years have been repeatedly cut. So
you're saying this is a very anti-education budget. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but characterize it for you?
Let me just try to put it as simply as I can.
Please.
Anytime you have a multi-million dollar, I think to the tune of what is almost $1 billion obligation that the courts have ruled that the legislature, controlled by the GOP and the governor's office, controlled by the GOP, have unconstitutionally failed to fund our schools. And at the same time, this budget does not account for that. It does not account for that legal obligation. They want to continue fighting in the courts against that. They keep saying, well, we should settle it, but they're fighting it. And so to shift some funds around and make cuts, and to if you look at these the soft cuts, like where they're saying, oh, we're going to not cut the direct mm-hmm. teaching funds, and they're cutting other things where those are programs that help those children that need the most, whether mm-hmm. it's support services, librarians, special counseling services for children that need additional funds, and say and shift those funds around and say that that's a gain, and yet we're cutting the universities, okay. which is going to hurt yeah. us on jobs. Right. I think it's anti-education.
Go ahead, Bob. Bob Weston.
I mean, you can look at that from perspective, Vince. But in reality, first of all, there is a gain. There's at least $11 million gain when you sort through all that shifting around the funds. So it's not a zero net. It actually is a gain. May not seem like a lot, but it is a gain. But when you talk about changing how the money is spent, you know, looking at how you manage money has more to do than just say how much money I got coming in. Is how do you handle that money? And what Governor Ducey is looking at is how are you handling that money. He wants to see the money go to the classroom. He wants to see that the dollars get spent in the classroom. What he's seeing is, and what we're looking at, is how the districts and how they're managing this money, and how come such a small number of those dollars, like 55% of the dollars going to the classroom, where nationwide is more like 61%. The money's not getting to the classroom. And what Governor Ducey is saying, look, you know, you can save money by using the money correctly. You can improve or put money hands-on and not waste the money in bureaucracy or administrative. And there are some advantages in that. You can do some – there's some efficiencies if the districts – decided to go do it, they can find ways of reducing their cost in administrative costs. That's everything from janitorial to how they contract for their medical support and all that kind of stuff. That can be done at a reduced part. And the beneficiary there is the student in the classroom.
You know, but here's the difference. When you are essentially either dead last or next to dead last in funding completely, it's like trying to send somebody without clothes to run the Iditarod and say, you know what, we're going to make you spend a little bit more on the sled you're using when they've got no parka, they've got no dogs. Mm-hmm. And so it's like looking at it in the microcosm and slicing out one little bit, kind of like this $11 million comment.
Look,
when you're looking at an obligation of billions and you say you have an $11 million
that doesn't
gain,
give you a license.
It's just, it's like a 10% of
that doesn't
teapot.
Give you a license to ignore inefficiencies.
That doesn't give you a license
to waste money.
But,
and if you manage that money better, everybody benefits from that.
It's like trying to boil water when your house is burning down. You know what, let's shift it to this burner and let's be a little bit more efficient how we heat the house. The house is
burning
down.
It's like manage your money rather than going out and taking a credit card and adding more debt to it. You talk about how much money you're spending in the education. I know that's important, Vince. I support that. But how you spend that money is very important. And if we don't start looking exactly how this money is managed, how we actually spend that money, you know, you're never going to get anywhere.
So you've got to start there. Bob Westerman, you're talking about, you believe that efficiency has been lacked.
Now, there is waste and there's efficiencies in government. And one thing about Governor Ducey is a businessman. He recognizes that, and he sees the opportunity. He sees the chances to better use this money, and everybody benefits from that.
The reality, the difference is this. Government is not business. Government has to provide for people. Government has to provide a public safety. It has to provide an infrastructure. We're not talking about business. If we were just talking about business, you know what? Then it'd be a
government
business.
Is business.
And in a business, people lose, other people go under. Look, and if you're looking at his business structure, what you're saying is, you know what? Those that don't have a political voice, those that can't afford to fight, those that don't get the services,
government,
it doesn't matter
has,
because we don't have to. We're going to just run it efficiently. And if you're left out of the equation, you're out.
They have an organization chart. They have budgets. They have every element that a business has, Vince. Don't tell me they're not a business. What you're trying to say is, okay, they have a different type of business where their product is not constrained by free enterprise. because basically if anything improves in cost, you just ramp up the old taxpayers and get some more money. You look at U of A. You talked about the reduction of $75 million U of A. Okay, that's $22 million reduction to U of A alone, okay? Well, you look at that, that's a 9% reduction they've had in funding over the last, since 09. But they've had a 17% increase in tuition. So where's the inefficiencies there? What's going on there?
What, let me ask you this quick question. What business in this world would cut off its nose, its profit center, to spite the rest of its face and its body? That's exactly what the GOP is doing by cutting education. If we want to grow jobs and we want to have an economy where businesses want to come to Arizona, we need to invest in that infrastructure rather than employing delayed tax cuts in a philosophical, never raise taxes ideology that has not worked since 1990. We've had billions of dollars cut, probably 45 to 47 cuts to the general revenue stream to the tune of billions in Arizona since 1990,
it has not created this
golden economy of trickle-down
GOP's
economics.
GOP's not ignoring education. As a matter of fact, Governor Ducey has made it a priority to get more money into the classrooms, making priority of education being better than it was before. We're not ignoring kids. The only difference is, Vince, that the Democrats think the only way you can fix it is put more money in it.
No, but you know why that's false, Bob? Because since 1990, except for the Senate for one or two terms, every single house has been controlled by the Republicans, and except for the short tenure of Governor Napolitano, it's been controlled by the Republicans. And we have not had this nirvana that has suddenly developed out of billions of tax cuts, corporate cronyism, and ignoring our educational mandate. Do you know there's a constitutional duty to fund our schools by taxation? It's actually in our state constitution.
Sure, for our advanced education.
But what are they doing? They're cutting taxes for corporate cronies and refuse to raise revenues as they're obligated to do under the state constitution.
There's a disconnect between that constitutional amendment. It doesn't say that Arizona needs to make education as free as possible for every student in Arizona. Then you guys to look at resources.
Different amendment.
All right. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bob Westerman on the right of me, and Vince is to the left here in studio. And when we come back after the break, Dimitri will be up first on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, so stick with us, Dimitri. But let's take our first break of this Monday right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, the state health director, Will Humble, will join us. We'll get an update on the flu outbreak in Arizona. Plus, our nutrition reporter, Jack Challen, will answer your health and wellness questions and concerns. Buckmaster, each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com and anywhere in the world for live streaming, podcasts, and show archive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, they are on Facebook, and they can take care of all of your framing needs. Moe does such a great job on all of that stuff. Vince Robigo is with us here on the Monday Political Face-Off, and Bob Westerman is here as well. And Dimitri, thank you for your patience waiting on the live line. Let's go to Dimitri. Go ahead.
Thank you. This is one of those independent questions that pleases no one. You know, it really bothers me that they're increasing funding for private prisons while decreasing funding for education. But I'm wondering, and I could probably answer this question myself, but I want to hear both you guys' comments on it. Why not just do an across-the-board cut on everything? It seems a little bit more like fiscal accountable, fiscally responsible. I mean, for example, the liquor department has a $2.9 million budget. Just, you know, couldn't the governor just go back and say, hey, I need you guys to figure out a way to save 5% and come back to me, and everyone come back to me. I know my answer as to why that might or might not work, but I wanted to hear what you guys thought about that kind of concept.
Okay, it's a good question. Bob Westerman, across-the-board cut.
You know, I think it's very important. I think Governor Ducey talked about this, that we do funding by priorities. We need to look at priorities, that what's going to help Arizona, what's going to help us grow. Across the board kind of ignores that reality of having to, you know, identify these and recognize these priorities. Education, by the way, an across-the-board cut would probably be one of the ones that would be hurt the most, because education and our health system is where all the money is. So they would take proportionally a big piece of that across the board cut. But you know, I do understand from a standpoint of how financially you manage this, that's a good approach. Another good approach might be that you might like is a zero based budgeting approach, where every year starts from zero.
What do you think, Vince?
Well, a couple of structural issues with the question. I appreciate the question. The first issue is some things cannot be cut because they're voter protected.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot just, you know, it would cut so deeply you're going to be violating.
Prisons you can't cut, right?
Well, actually, you could cut prisons. Where you can't cut is, you know, where you'd have a negative backward draft, so to speak, because what happens is you have certain mandatory sentencing laws, and you're going to have people that are going to fall under those, and that population is going to keep growing. Now, they could be smart, for example, get rid of some of those laws. John Munger was agreeing with that judges ought to have discretion. Sure, we put the hardened criminals away, we throw away the key, we do whatever we need to do to protect public safety, but there are things in our laws, including the mandatory minimums, really one shoe size doesn't fit all. So we could change those laws, and then you could cut those budgets. The private prisons, I mean, that's exactly, I think, a perfect example of the misplaced priorities. This is a priorities budget, and the priorities are that the governor favors continuing to fund private prisons, despite the fact that crime is at an all-time low in the last 40 years in this country.
Yeah, this budget does call, Vince, for considerably more spending on prison beds.
It does, and we don't need it. We need to have policies that grow the economy. The less money you spend in schools, the more people you're going to send to prisons. It's a school to prison pipeline. If you don't educate people, that's what's going to happen. So the other part is there's some things that are structural. There's some things that have to be targeted. So an across the board cut would not work. In fact, some of those laws, like the voter protected constitutional amendments to prevent the legislature from sweeping funds, was done because of a distrust of the legislature in the past, because they would just take funds from certain things. So the people of Arizona collectively said, we don't trust the legislature.
And all of that's coming back to bite us now because of our inability to manage that money. It's now out of our hands. If we had the ability to do that, we would be better off.
So we really only have about if you look at the budget as a pie, you've only got about a third to work with.
Right.
Because of the mandated spending. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's part of the problem. That's part of the issue. But the other part of it, for example, I think since 1990 to 2000, if I remember correctly, like the prison budget has grown. It's doubled. You know, it's not like suddenly we had this rampant doubling of crime everywhere. Crime's been on the decline. And so there are things that just don't make sense. And here's a prime example. And I was personally involved in this. You remember this. About a couple years back, I participated in a lawsuit against the governor and Department of Corrections because they had not done the every 2 years they were supposed to do, evaluate the efficiencies that Bob is talking about, the public safety proportionality. Are these private prisons doing as good a job public safety-wise? And about three other factors. They had never done it in more than 20 years. So we sued, and ultimately the case got dismissed. It was all about a 5,000 new private prison bed proposal because we didn't believe it was necessary at the time. At the end of the day, they canceled that bid during that year. And guess what the legislature did the very next year?
Hmm.
Kavanaugh and his friends up there at the legislature came in and got rid of the law that required the state to make sure that we weren't just throwing good money after bad into the private prison system. Now there is absolutely no evaluation required. They could be as inefficient as you want. They can take as much money and graft and you're obligated to fill those beds no matter what. Once the contract's signed, it doesn't matter if you...
Governor Ducey, we need to get rid of that. Just stepped into this, Vince, and I think he's taking a look at this. He had... presented with this problem. That's why he allocated money for the beds, because he had to take care of that issue. I would expect Governor Ducey to look at the entire operation and look at that efficiency. And I expect good things out of that.
Let's go back to the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. Greg has some ideas on how to save money. We would love to hear them. Greg, go ahead.
Well, thanks, Bill. This is a subject that I feel very close to and somewhat knowledgeable about. The Office of Court-Appointed Counsel is being run by Bob Hirsch, who's a formidable, intelligent, former criminal defense attorney. I'd love to see Pima County take a really close look at some of these folks who are being given clients. They're assigned cases, whether they work with the public defender's office or contract attorneys, because what's happening is it's meet them, greet them, and plead them. It's true.
Yeah.
We're having to, you know, when I heard that the governor wants 3,000 more new beds for inmates, I thought, no. Let's find out about these folks who aren't fighting for their clients, but instead just get the state's plea offer, presents it and says, listen, this is the best offer I've ever seen. You need to take it. You'll only do 3 or 4 years in prison. And the guy or the girl says, but wait, I didn't do the crime. What do your guests think about that?
Let's hear. Thank you very much, Greg, for joining us. Vince, you're an attorney. We'll begin with you.
I have not seen that. And okay. I do know that Bob Hirsch runs a very good shop. And the reality is that shop is to make sure that there's attorneys are doing their job. And there was already some inquiry into examining contracts and all of that in the past. I believe the whole process and what has happened over the years, and I'm not a criminal defense attorney, so I do not speak from that world. I'm a former prosecutor. I'm just telling you from what my understanding of and looking at it from the outside is that doesn't happen. If you want to see a meet 'em, greet 'em, and plead 'em thing, look over at the federal system with Operation Streamline. Talk about people not really getting any due process whatsoever when you got 40 people being advised of their rights and pleading guilty in unison. That's a system that somebody needs to take a look at. But the reality is where the costs get driven up is you're talking about the beds, and he's talking about people going into the system. Where you have it on the other end is, you need to exercise prosecutorial discretion. Not every case is a mandatory minimum case. Not every case needs to go to trial. We need to make sure that our prosecutors have discretion. Yeah. Because if you don't, those costs come in, the trial costs, and those go up exponentially on the county level, and then we send them to create a state budget.
Meet and greet them and plead them is really a symptom of overloaded court system, Vince. It's the fact that there are so many people on the docket, so many people have to be have to go through the process. This is a shortcut. This is a way to reduce costs and get the situation handled as many people as you can, which kind of indicates that Arizona certainly has a crime problem. We certainly still have a crime problem. And the fact that the governor wants to, at least address the prison problem is important.
But if you look back on things, the reality is if you look at, for example, the drug war and drug policies, there are minimal crimes where people are getting sent off to state prison where they need either rehabilitation or other programs, but then they end up in the prison system. They don't have a real chance of ever contributing to the economy when they get out.
If we want to take a look at those, if we want to take a look at how we do sentencing and how that's done, I'm 100% behind.
Well, I'm with you on that, Bob.
Where it certainly is. System needs to be looked at.
We will end on that very positive note with Vince and Bob agreeing on something. We appreciate Bob Westerman. Thank you, Bob, for coming in.
You're welcome.
And we appreciate Vince Robigo. Thanks, Vince. Hope both of you guys have a great week.
Thank you.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Our appreciation to Moe for sponsoring every Monday our Monday Political Face-Off. And Moe will take very good care of you for all of your framing needs and custom frame mirrors and on anything on the wall, they'll take care of it. We'll continue on this Monday Martin Luther King Jr. holiday day right after this. Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. And you can support solid, nonpartisan journalism by becoming a backer of TucsonSentinel.com's Panorama Project, an unprecedented effort to photograph every mile of the Arizona-Mexico border. Your local independent online news needs your help. Back Panorama on Kickstarter to support our ambitious project to paint a vivid and accurate picture of the borderlands. Go to TucsonSentinel.com/Panorama to learn more and back us on Kickstarter today. TucsonSentinel.com, because a smarter Tucson is a better Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
Oh, as good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where they'll be having the 16th annual Chocolate Fantasia celebration. If you like chocolate, and who doesn't, join us in downtown Silver City on February the 7th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's going to be so many different gourmet chocolate tasting events, so it should be a lot of fun. Free events for the entire family. Silver City's only 3 hours east of Tucson. Lots to do, hiking, and of course exploring historic downtown Silver City. And you can find the full list of places to stay and things to do by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Great places to stay like Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort and Agave Ridge Retreat. Coming up now on 12:36 on this Monday, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday day, and joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Jared Trotter. Jared was with us last month talking about a program that she created, Strangers We Know, and we'll be talking about that. And we'll also be talking about, she's one of the really outstanding young African-American leaders in this community, and I think it's important for the Buckmaster Show listeners to, if you hadn't heard from Jared, I want you to know this person because she really has a lot going for her. Jared, good to see you.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about when you first learned about Dr. Martin Luther King. Was it in school?
Yes. When I was in preschool, it was actually one of my first homework assignments.
In preschool?
Yes. In California, yeah.
So what'd you learn?
We learned about his I Have a Dream speech, and it was a really simple project. But I remember my grandmother helping me with it and telling me more about him and who he was and what he had done.
What do you particularly like about all the teachings of Dr. King? What really jumps out at you?
I don't know if you're familiar with it, but his Drum Major Instinct sermon that he gave, I think it was the last sermon he gave in 1968, and he talked about the greatest among us would be those who were servants, and that's how you would achieve greatness. He talked about how Jesus didn't have any of the things that we would associate with greatness now, but he is one of the most influential people that we know nowadays, and that when he died, when Dr. King died himself, that he didn't want people to talk about his college degrees, where he went to school, his awards, the Nobel Peace Prize. He wanted people to remember that he lived a life serving others. He valued service, humility, and love. And that's what I remember most about him. That's what I take from his life.
Well, I think it resonated obviously with you because your life as an adult, from what I know of it, has been about service. You worked with young people in Child Protective Services, and then you went off to start your own program, The Strangers We Know. And for folks that don't know about it, tell us, what is Strangers We Know?
Strangers We Know is a community outreach organization that we do everything in service. My motto is love is my vocation, peace is my motto, and giving is my life. And so that's what we strive to do. One of the subset programs within that is called Bridges, and we do outreach for children who age out of foster care.
And that's a big problem, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. It's a very underserved population.
You raised quite a bit of, you raised clothing and for this particular group, this subset, over the holidays. How did that go?
Everything went really well. Now we're at a point where we're trying to find more young adults that are coming out of the system because we really want to give this stuff away. If it's sitting with us and it's not doing what it's supposed to do, which is to be helping those kids.
Let's go back to Dr. King and his whole ethic that he really talked about in serving people and serving communities. And it really, the King holiday for many people has kind of evolved into what can I do to serve my community, hasn't it? Or has it? I mean, how do you see it?
I kind of see that we've gotten away from his, what he lived his life for, and that it's more about, you know, the day off and doing your own thing.
Right.
And not giving back to the community. So I'm hoping people will look more into who he was as a person and not who we've made him out to be, and continue on his legacy that way. Show our appreciation for it that way.
What do you think about when you've seen all the craziness that happened in Ferguson and it happened in New York and places, and people say that this country has a real race problem still? I'd just be curious, but how do you gauge that?
I think we have to stop looking outward and blaming others. I think we need to take a real hard look at the man in the mirror, go internally, and like Dr. King encourages us to do, be a strong individual, live your life in service, do good when you can. I think if we lived our lives, you know, that way, we wouldn't have those problems. I think we perpetuate racism by expecting someone else to make things right for us. So,
to try and we're asking others to kind of set it right when I like what you said about let's look in the mirror, and every person needs to kind of do a gut check.
Absolutely.
On their own situation. Where are you at, and what are you going to do to serve other people?
Absolutely. For sure.
What do you hope to get out now with Strangers We Know, and where can people find out more about it?
You can go to www.strangerswenow.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Strangers We Know. I'm really hoping that we'll be able to expand into mentoring with the program, and that over the next few months we'll get more and more and more kids involved in this. We really want to help them during that transition period. Excuse me. So, more people. We need to get the word out. Get more people learning about it. So,
how'd you come up with the name, Jared, Strangers We Know?
I really believe that love is the answer and connection is the way. And the way we connect is by getting to know the people around us. So much of our time is spent ignoring our neighbors. You know, we'll get in an argument with the person on the internet, but we won't speak to our next door neighbor, which is really strange.
And we may not even know, Jared, the name of our next door neighbor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, we're in that kind of, you know, rushing here and rushing there, but how often do people really take the time to get to know their neighbors?
Yes, but the thing is, we do know each other. We've all struggled. We've all cried. We all eat. We breathe air. We've all been through things, and so I wanted the name to invoke the idea that we're strangers, but we know each other. There's a commonality that exists between all of us.
What message, then, would you like to leave us with on this King Day, Jared Trotter?
I would love to share a quote.
Go ahead.
From Dr. King that was really important to me.
Go ahead.
The quote says, "I choose to identify with the underprivileged. I choose to identify with the poor. I choose to give my life for the hungry. This is the way that I am going. If it means suffering a little bit, I'm going that way. If it means sacrificing, I'm going that way. If it means dying for them, I'm going that way. Because I heard a voice, and that voice said, do something for others."
Very nice. Jared Trotter, one of the really fine young African-American leaders in the Tucson community, and she created this program, Strangers We Know. You can find out more at strangerswenow.org for more information. Jared, thank you for sharing some of your thoughts with us.
Thank you so much.
All right, Jared Trotter with us on The Buckmaster Show. As we push toward now and over 1243, we're going to talk about that new mandatory civics test with our education Education contributor Dr. Robert Hendricks. We'll find out what he thinks of it as we continue on this Monday afternoon. Stay with us.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control is announcing they now have pigeon services with a pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five Star Pest Control's pigeon trapping and exclusion program, and you'll be pleased. Whew, getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com. And we know
what bumps you. Perfection Auto Works wants to know, do you own a Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, or BMW? Does the dealer repair pricing structure offend your wallet? Tired of overpriced repairs at the dealer without the quality and attention you deserve? If so, consider Perfection Auto Works, conveniently located near Speedway and Craycroft. From the major tune-up on your Jetta to the clutch replacement on your Porsche 911, call 323-8650. That's 323-8650. PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I love that bumper music, Ed. La Vida from Coldplay there with the bumper music on the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon. I want to do a big shout out before we continue with the next segment to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. Mike, thank you for all you do for our community. Anyone with foreign or domestic car needs certainly can get the best of help at your wonderful clean shop, Midtown location, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly. The best place to find out more about Mike would be to go to their website, perfectionautoworks.com. That's who I recommend for all automotive needs. The Buckmaster Show contributor on education is with me in studio, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He has extensive educational teaching experience. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. He was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989, and he actually has a school named for him, Hendricks Elementary School. Is that right, Bob?
That's correct.
All right.
Yes.
Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you too, Bill.
And we were talking on the Friday roundtable, when can you stop wishing someone a Happy New Year? And I think I'm going to break my rule already. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Well, we haven't seen each other.
No, we haven't
seen
you, so we can continue to say that. Well, since we last saw you before the new year began, there was talk of maybe that Governor Ducey would introduce this idea about a mandatory civics test in order for people to graduate, and that fast-tracked. He mentioned it in the State of the State address on Monday, and by Friday, Bob, it was law.
Incredible momentum. I mean, the governor really got off to a fast start on this issue, and I wish him well, because I hope that some of the other initiatives that that are going to favor education will get the same kind of momentum. I'm a little dubious about that, but at least this program got put in place, and we're the first in the nation to do this. But there are many other states, Bill, that are right behind it. I mean, this has been a subject of discussion for a long period of time. And there's a Scottsdale firm, actually, that has put the initiative, you know, to the test in many, many states. And I think South Dakota may be the next state. It's currently being considered in the legislature. But
Is this Scottsdale company like a lobbyist then that kind of pushes this?
No, I think it's more of a think tank.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's an effort to try to put more civic responsibility on young people. And this test is kind of a simplistic way that they believe will begin that process.
Well, the knock on this, and we had Mr. Juarez, Cam Juarez, TUSD board member, was with us on Friday, right after the governor had signed this, and we asked him what he thought of it as a TUSD board member, and he thought that there's redundancy here, that already this was part of the curriculum.
Well, it is. It is. And hopefully, I don't know the logistics of how they're going to work out this high-stakes test, but hopefully within the three courses that students have to take in high school, that it can be incorporated as one of their exit exams or one of their exit experiences. The other day, just as a curious exercise, because I really wanted to take a look at this test.
Did
and
you
I would
take
invite,
the test?
Yeah,
okay.
I would invite listeners, too, to go online. You can get the entire 100-question test on the U.S. Customs page.
Okay.
And you can take the test and understand that the score that's being proposed with this test is 60.
Mm-hmm.
Not, in my opinion, going to be that difficult for students to be able to pass this test. I don't think it's going to be a major speed bump for them. A lot of it is factual recall. Some of the questions I was really quite surprised about.
Which
like
ones?
Name two national holidays.
Hmm.
And another one was, name a federally recognized Indian tribe.
Wow. Just one?
Just one. You just have to name one.
Okay.
Another one was talk about a country, name a country that is on the border of the United States, on the northern border of the United States.
Oh, my goodness.
So there are geography questions. There are American history questions. There are questions about the flag. Uh-huh. And there are questions about American government. So those are the 100 questions. And so if you're immigrating into this country, the rule is that they will randomly select 10 of these questions, mm-hmm, from the 100.
Mm-hmm.
and you give a verbal response, and you have to get six. So that's where the six came from. That's where the 60
that's
came
where
from.
The six comes
so
from.
It's my understanding that they're going to be emulating this test. So you can, you know, as a student, you can look at the questions, you can look at the answers, you can learn the answers. I mean, when I took the test, I took the entire test. I felt like I was, it was, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Because a lot of the questions were really no-brainers. And then some of them were stumpers for me.
Tell us some of the challenging ones.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the number of amendments in the Constitution.
Whoa, okay.
And there's 27.
Okay.
So
well,
now
well.
That I've learned that, I will remember that.
A few people.
I'll remember
27.
Okay. But you can learn that very quickly.
Yes.
It's one number to remember.
Okay.
The number of justices on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is nine.
Nine.
Okay. And also, I wasn't sure about the number of years of the term of a senator. I thought it was four, but it's not
six.
Four. It's six.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, I would have gotten that
but
one.
Again, there are a lot of these numerical answers. Many of the answers are one or two word short responses. It's okay for basic core knowledge. The question is, if we're really going to use this to engage citizens, which I think ought to be the greater goal, I'm not sure that this test really gets you there. I mean, it would certainly help you not be embarrassed as a person on the street if Jay Leno asked you
yes.
a question.
Yes.
But, you know, it's more...
It's kind of a start, maybe.
Yeah, but it's more like a driver's license test or
yeah.
a trivia contest or something like that. So if it makes people feel good, fine, because I am very confident that students get this information in their secondary school classes and, in fact, many of these things I think they get in their elementary and middle school education.
Is civics a part of that early education?
Well, civics is defined by this test, certainly is. I mean, there are a number of things about the organization of American government the students would get, you know, within Arizona history or U.S. history in the upper middle school and the in seventh and eighth grade. And maybe even fifth grade.
Now, the question is already coming up. There was a letter to the editor in the Arizona Daily Star today. Who's going to pay for the test, or is that even an issue?
Well, I'm hoping it's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping with all the financial struggles that we have that this is not one more thing that's being laid at the doorstep of school districts or even at the state to pay for. My guess is that... if they are, in fact, use this 100-question test, that there's not going to be any development fees, no development costs. The administration, again, if it's infused in the curriculum and the coursework, it could be an exit test. And so we don't have to bring in a contractor or someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, to administer this test. I think it could be very simple.
The budget did come out, and there were associated with the University of Arizona, so I'm not going to ask you to speak on behalf of the U of A, but just as an individual, what did you think of the budget when it came to higher education, the cut of about $75 million for the three universities?
Well, this would be catastrophic even if it were the first cut, but it's not. I mean, there have been universities have seen their budgets whittled away, and I think it's become more of a national trend. We're seeing universities, the attitude towards public universities by many states are that they need to be more self-sufficient.
Privatization.
They need to be more revenue producing,
mm-hmm.
and that more of the cost needs to be placed on the students. And one way that some states have done is they've put a lot of the burden, financial burden, on out-of-state students that want to come in. So. What it doesn't take into account is, I think, the tremendous influence and contribution that universities make on the research front. And there, if a school is not able to get money generated from federal grants and other sources, it's going to be really, really difficult. But those sources are what really support a lot of public education. So we have to be really careful what we're doing here, because if we throw the baby out with the bath, we're going to have major complications in our university system, as well as K-12, where we've got the suggestion from the governor, I think it's more than a suggestion, in his budget that we cut administrative costs. But I think what has failed to be mentioned in that is that in administrative costs, we're talking about counselors, social workers, nurses, psychologists, security, athletic management. I mean, all those things are part of the administrative costs. And particularly when you get schools that are low socioeconomically, a lot of those support services are really critical, and they're going to be cut.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much for joining us. Once a month, we talk with you about education, and we appreciate you coming on the program. Thanks.
Happy to be here.
All right. The Buckmaster Show, coming to you each a weekday, 12:04 to 1. But there are other talk shows, and I'm glad there are local talk shows here on our station. For Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen helping out on that show. That show 4 to 5 each weekday. And then, of course, 6 to 8 in the morning, it's Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, and then the Daily Double, Christy Simone, and a guest host every day from 8 to 9. So along with all of our national talk shows, which are great, we also want to direct you to our local programs, because all news is local. It all starts local, and we hope you understand that and support our local programming. On behalf of our producer, engineer, Ed Alexander, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Ed and I will be back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.